presence. Anybody else had kind of a hectic day today? It's felt kind of like a hectic day today building to this time to get to where we're at and trying to bring your heart and your mind to focus into to this afternoon and to Christmas Eve. Been just a little bit crazy. Not like necessarily even out of the ordinary. Just felt hectic until getting to this point. And I don't know about it, whether anybody else has felt that today, but I just feel led just to lead us in kind of a centering focus prayer before we go further in. So let's just center in and pray for a moment. Oh, dear God, I just I thank you for those that are here in this room this afternoon. This is a glorious afternoon together. It has been extraordinary and beautiful and worshipful and drawing us closer and closer to you from the time that the first stick hit the drum tonight, this afternoon. And God, we just want to thank you for bringing us into your presence, Lord, that you have been here. And although things maybe have felt somewhat hectic to me or to some others in this room, just getting even through the season, but even getting through today to getting to here, even though they maybe have seemed chaotic or out of sorts or however they have seemed, one thing is true, it's not been chaotic for you. You've been calm and still. And calm and still. And now you come and you quiet us to make us calm and still to meet with you on this beautiful afternoon. God, we just ask you to do that. Settle our hearts and our spirits. Fill them with the peace of your presence. And connect us to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Over the past several weeks here at Old Fort Church, we've been in a message series called Telling the Christmas Story. And what we've been trying to do is take some of the things of the season that can kind of draw us away or get our attention, or even the things that are supposed to be about Christmas that kind of busy us, and to take all of that and to refocus on the real story, on telling the story within all of it. And that's what we've been doing. And I want to spend some time before we get into some devotional thoughts of mine tonight to take us back to the source of the real story. The story of the birth of Jesus is told in two of the Gospels in the Bible, in Matthew and in Luke. And on Christmas Eve, typically we share at least a portion of some of that text and one of the two and read some of that and prepare us. And I'm going to do something tonight that I've not done for a while. I want to share a blend of the two Gospels. I'm kind of telling of what happened in the events in chronological order just simply by sharing readings in Matthew and in Luke. So if you just will follow along as the story is told, the way Scripture tells us the story of the birth of Jesus. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee and Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on heaven and on earth to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem to see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who was born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, and the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was born. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Friends, I'll never forget the night after our first child, Rebecca, was born. I won't forget when any of my children were born. It's an amazing experience to experience new life. I don't know how you can forget the times that your children are born if you have children. However, when it was the first time experiencing new life, the very first time you experienced that with one of your own children, it's such a brand new thing, isn't it? It's such an amazing thing. And although it's special with all your kids when they're born, there's something special that happened the night after my first one was born, our first one was born. I'd spent the whole previous night in the hospital with Caroline waiting for the birth. And then after the child was born the next morning, I spent the whole day in the hospital with her. And I finally got home to our house sometime around 10 o'clock at night, I think. At that time, we lived out in the country, and we had a dog that was an outside dog. Her name was Macy, and I went outside that night to take Macy out of her kennel, to get her out of her kennel for a bit. It was pretty late at night. Again, I got home, I think, around 10, and friends, I looked up to the sky, and I'm telling you, I saw the clearest, the brightest night that I can ever remember seeing in my life. I mean, I felt like there must have been thousands and thousands of stars up there. I've never seen a night so bright. I even went and I got Caroline's mom. She was staying at the house because of the birth, and I made her come outside so she could see it too. So I had a witness for how clear and how bright that night was. And I don't know if it was just the enlightenment of being a new dad or if it was just an especially clear night, but I can tell you I have never seen a night like it since. That's kind of how I envisioned this night that Christ was born. That's what I think must have happened. There must have been something really special in the air. Certainly, God made it the clearest, the brightest night in all of time, in all of history, the night that his son was born into the world. Certainly it was. After hearing the angels declare his birth, the shepherds must have felt something different in the air. They must have looked up into the sky where the angels had come and said, "Wow, we have never seen a sky like that before." It must have been that way. Joseph and Mary must have thought the same thing. I can just imagine Joseph, after the babies come, just stepping out of the cave or the stable or whatever it was and just kind of peering up and going, "Wow, this has got to be the clearest, the brightest night that I have ever seen. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow." When I was growing up, my Uncle Mike, my mom's brother, Uncle Mike, would be at my grandparents' house. He'd often walk around singing the song "Starry, Starry Night." It's a song by Don McLean a long time ago. It's a song about Vincent van Gogh, the artist, and his artwork and the sad ending to his life. Van Gogh painted a painting called "Starry Night," maybe one of his most famous paintings. And it's if you see it, it's got these big swooshes of yellow stars over this dark village. And in the center of the village is this steeple that rises up, perhaps a church. Some believe that Van Gogh in this picture, that he was actually had a spiritual connotation because there are 11 stars in it. And they think it may have connected to a scripture in Genesis, but we don't know. The younger years of Van Gogh's life, he desired to evangelize the poor. I don't know Vincent van Gogh's intent in his picture or my uncle's intent when he would sing "Starry, Starry Night," but for me, it has my own connotation. When I hear the words "Starry, Starry Night," or I see that painting, my mind goes to the birth scene of the Christ. I realize that probably wasn't what Van Gogh was intending at all when he painted it. But there couldn't have been a starrier night than the one that Jesus was born. Scripture tells us of at least one star, a special star. It's not clear in the scripture story as to what point that star appeared, although it's depicted on the Christmas cards and in the Christmas pageants, and it's neatly placed over the stable when you see a picture that somebody's done of the birth. The only place that it's spoken about in scripture is when it tells of the Magi, however. And although the Magi often are represented as kings who were there at the Nativity, the Magi were not only not kings, but they also were not likely there on the birth night in the birthplace. From the way scripture's written in Matthew, it's believed that the Magi actually saw Jesus when he was anywhere from around several months to maybe 2 years of age in a house in Nazareth, not in a stable or in a cave in Bethlehem. Even so, tonight I want to focus a bit on that star. When did it appear? How long was it in the sky? How bright was it? Who were these magi? Let's start with the last of those questions. The magi were not kings, as they're often called. The magi were actually likely Persian priests. They were teachers and instructors to the Persian kings. They were skilled in philosophy, medicine, and natural science. At their best, the magi were magi sought truth as good and holy men at their best. They also believed in astrology, and they believed that they could foretell future from the stars. So just imagine if that's who they are. What would they have thought if all of a sudden there appears this brilliant star in the sky? We're talking unlike any other that you've ever seen. If they were in astrology, they would have studied the stars. They would have known what the normal stars looked like. They would have known the normal star patterns and formations. Friends, this star obviously would be no normal star. It was different from any other that they'd ever seen. It must have been like a strange phenomenon to them. And with their spiritual side that they had and their belief in the stars telling the future, they probably had no doubt that God was breaking through into his own natural order of things to announce something really special that night. Understand, the Magi were spiritual, but they weren't Jews. And they weren't Hebrews. Even so, they would have been familiar with the Hebrew scripture and the prophecy and the teaching. So it's not at all strange to believe that they would have known about a king foretold who was coming. And if a new king was going to make his way, his entry into this world, you know what? They wanted to see it. They wanted to meet him. And so they embarked on a journey. Now, when we think of that journey, we often think of three men on camels traveling the dunes in the sand, right? That's what we think about. But you know what? It's not clear how many magi there really were. We think three because there were three gifts, frankincense, gold, and myrrh. But the scripture doesn't tell us how many magi there actually were. They likely traveled with a traveling party, and the arrangements that they would need to make and gathering that party would take some time, and likely take several months for them to even begin on this journey. And then it would take several months to arrive to where they were going. They'd be traveling approximately 900 miles. That means, friends, that whatever star it was that they saw, it hung around for quite some time for them to follow. It certainly may have been there on that first Christmas night. It may have been there. Maybe that's when they first saw it. Maybe when Jesus was born was the first time that star was in the sky. Whenever it arrived, we know from this account that it led them, that it guided them, perhaps it wasn't even a stationary star. Listen to again to what it says in Matthew chapter 2, verse 9. The star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. If a star went ahead and a star stopped over a house, does that mean they were following some sort of moving star? I don't know, but it sure sounds like that may be the case. What exactly was this star? We can only answer that with some speculation and some faith. Some suggest a natural phenomenon that can be traced back to some astronomical event, whether a comet, a supernova, or a conjunction of planets. Others suggest that it was a supernatural star, astral phenomenon that God placed there for a purpose of heralding Christ's birth. Another answer could be that it was actually an angel sent to the Magi to announce the birth of Messiah and to guide them to Jesus so that they could go to welcome him into this world with their worship. In their time and culture, good angels were commonly referred to as stars. I can't tell you what it was that the Magi saw, but what I can tell you without a single doubt in my mind and without a single doubt in my heart is whatever it is, God did it. And wherever it came from, God sent it. The Magi are also often referred to as wise men, right? Well, with their knowledge and their understanding, wise men they certainly were, and the wisest choice that they ever made was to follow that star. Matthew chapter 2, verses 10 through 11 say, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with the mother, Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. Friends, tonight is Christmas Eve. My question for you is, why are you here? Why are you here? What in the world matters enough to you that you would stop on this afternoon, on Christmas Eve of all times, where you could be with family, you could be with friends, you could be doing so many other things, you could be at home watching the Christmas story for 24 hours straight, but you chose to come here this afternoon at 4 o'clock. Why? I believe you to be wise men and wise women, many with wise children, some with wise aleck children, with the astute amount of wisdom that's probably gathered in this room right now this afternoon. Why would you gather every Christmas Eve for such a worship experience? Why? Well, I'll tell you why I'm here. I'm here because of a starry, starry night. It's a night like no other. Through my whole life, God has guided me, not by a physical star, but by his love for me, by his provision for my life, by rescuing me from myself and from others, by placing me in the path of caring people, by getting me through when people weren't so caring and weren't so kind, by healing me when I hurt, and by lifting me when I was low. Do you see it in your life too? Take a hard look at your life. God's been there. He's always been there, even when you've not known whether he's been there for sure. He's been there like a star, a bright star on a starry, starry night, saying, follow me. Follow me, and I will lead you to something phenomenal. That phenomenal thing is a person who's God's own son, Jesus Christ, who was not just born into this world, but lived in this world and died in this world and rose again to be the savior of this world. He died for your sins and for mine, and he offers forgiveness to all of us who will ask him, and he'll lead our lives if we invite him to be born into our hearts. Now, here's the most beautiful part. Once you've invited Jesus into your heart, that light that's guided you is now in you through the Holy Spirit. Listen to what Jesus himself says in John 8, verse 12. He says, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now you carry the Christmas story. We carry the light of life within us. We carry it in our heart. We carry it everywhere we go. So our lives now tell the Christmas story. I know that it's not a Christmas song, but you know what song, what children's song this makes me think about? It makes me think of the song, This Little Light of Mine. I'm gonna let it shine. You guys know that one? Some of you know that one? Can you sing the first verse with me? Can we try it? I know it's not a Christmas song, but it is a Christmas song. So try it with me. I'm going to be terrible, so please sing loud. Okay? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Very good. That should be a Christmas song, right? In just a bit, we're going to light candles all throughout this room. And do you know what we're going to be doing when we do that? We're going to be creating our own starry, starry night. All through this room, there'll be stars, lights, representing Christ alive in you and Christ alive in me, being a starry, starry light throughout this whole room. And when we do that, we're going to be telling the Christmas story. And when we sing Silent Night, we're going to be singing the Christmas story on a starry, starry night, a clear night with stars throughout the sky. You know, if I could control the weather conditions, which I can't do, I know the one who does. But I can't do it. But if I could, I would give you tonight, when you go outside tonight, the clearest night you've ever seen. With the most stars you've ever seen in your life. So you could be reminded of that night that the Savior was born. That's what I would do if I could control the weather. Now, I think it's supposed to be cloudy tonight. If God wants to surprise us, I'll take it. But it reminds you of the night that Christ was born. Friends, I asked you earlier why you were here tonight. Well, I'm going to tell you why I'm here. Like the Magi, I want to worship the Son of God. That's why I'm here. If it is If that's why you're here, then let's join together in communion to remember exactly what he did for us, that he came to die for us, his body broken and his blood shed. And then as we listen to the song, O Holy Night Song, let's really pay attention to those words that tell us the story. And then when we light our candles and join and treat our starry, starry night, let's tell the story by singing it to the rafters. Can we do that? There was a baby born in Bethlehem who grew to be a man, who came for the purpose to give you light, the light of the world within you, to forgive you of all your sins. And if you've never asked Jesus into your heart and into your life, you can do that right now tonight, even as you receive communion. Ask him to forgive your sins and to come into your heart. That baby grew to be a man whose body was broken and whose blood was shed that you and I might know the light of the world. We're going to take communion by intinction. That means you're going to tear off a piece of bread, dip it into the juice, and receive it. If you're in this center section of the room, if you'll come through either side aisle and come up, receive on either station that you're on. You can part wherever it feels natural for you. Return by the outside aisles to your seats. If you're on one of the side aisles, come through the middle aisles and again return by the outside. As you're leaving, make sure to pick up one of the candles that will be on the side so you have that ready for silent night. Will those who are serving come forward? Now, friends, I'm going to leave the bread and the cup uncovered so that in our candlelight we can see the broken body of Christ before us. Bread that's now been broken and shredded and taken into pieces for us to receive. And now his body that is broken for us until the day he rises for us, which he has done. I want to take the light from the white candle, which is the Christ candle, and it's going to be Christ's light into this little light of mine that I'm going to pass on. And you can begin to pass that through the aisles. If you will take the candle that's lit and bend your candle to the lit candle to receive the light, then you won't get hot wax on you. And you can receive the light that way. So Jesus died for us to be the light of the world. He was born as the light of the world when it was in darkness to become the light that's now within me and that's within you. So with this little light of mine, I shine it onto you. The light of the world. Jesus came to the world when it was dark to be the light for you and me. That we could shine our light to another and to another. So look around and see what one light does for another. And we become the Christmas story. Jesus born into our hearts. That we can share Jesus with all that we know, the story of Jesus being born for you. Merry Christmas.